Exodus chapter 8 and reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. The plague of blood was over, and God told Moses to go again to Pharaoh and repeat the demand that the Lord's people were to be allowed to leave Egypt. This time, no mention is made of the length of time that they will be away, or indeed any return that they might make. And this demand to let the people go came from Moses to Pharaoh with a threat. If Pharaoh will not let the people go, there would be a plague of frogs brought upon Egypt, such as never had been seen before, and was likely unimaginable to Pharaoh and his servants. So Moses explains what is about to happen, and the picture that he paints for us here is very grim indeed. He tells us that these frogs would get everywhere. They would be upon Pharaoh, they would be upon his servants, they would be upon the people throughout the land of Egypt. And they would not be able to keep these frogs back. The third verse tells us here that the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. They would go into the houses. They would go into people's bedrooms. They would be up on the bed. They would be on people's pillows. They would be under their sheets. They would be completely in the house of Pharaoh and his servants and the people. They would come into their kitchens. They would be in their ovens. They would be in their cooking utensils. They would be on their plates and their tables. And everywhere there would be these frogs. If someone went to cook a meal, there would be a frog in the bowl where they made the bread. And this is, I think, interesting to note, that it seems as if Pharaoh says no immediately. Because we're told that while Moses is still with him, Aaron is instructed to put out this rod that he used and to cause the frogs to appear. We should note that when God gives a warning like this, it is an opportunity to comply with his word. Because this plague could have been prevented if Pharaoh had listened to the voice of God and the word of Moses. The plague is initiated and this affair unfolds. Aaron raises his rod over the waters of Egypt, just as he had done with the plague of blood. And this time frogs appear in massive numbers and they emerge from the river Nile and from every body of water in the country. And it's interesting to note that again, these magicians of Egypt, the book of Hebrews talks about some names, Jannes and Jambres, whether that was the same people that were here concerned or not is another question. But these magicians were again, it seems, able to replicate either really or in some illusionary way, replicate these frogs. But they could not prevent them or rid the country of them. And these were real frogs. It was a plague of immense proportion, fouling their houses and their beds and their cooking places and their food stores and causing great distress to Pharaoh and to his people. So that very quickly, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron to come back again and asks that they take away the frogs. And he promises that if they do so, he will let the people go. And suddenly it appears Pharaoh is much more reasonable and he knows the name of the Lord that he didn't know before. And here it seems that Moses shows some personal initiative and he inquires of Pharaoh, when would the king like the frogs to be taken away? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. I wonder why he didn't say, take them away now, take them away immediately. He says, tomorrow. Maybe it's because he was still harboring this idea that maybe if I leave it one more night, they'll go away by themselves. But this specifying of time served the purpose of showing everyone that Moses was indeed like a god to Pharaoh, and that by Moses' word, these things would be done. And it also shows us Moses' confidence in the Lord that he spoke in this way to Pharaoh and the faith that he had in the miracle. So that it seems that Moses was also learning as he served the Lord in this situation. And the following day, the Lord took away the frogs, or at least they began to die, and the people had to brush them up and shovel them up and put them into big piles. And again, we're told that there was a terrible smell, a terrible stink in the land as all these creatures died and began to decay. So there was nothing imaginary about this. However, we're also told that when Pharaoh saw that the frogs were gone, he hardened his heart and changed his mind and refused to let the people go. There's a couple of lessons that I want to draw to your attention on this matter, just as we reflect upon this little account. Despite God's warnings to us, men and women and boys and girls by nature do not and will not do God's will. And that opposition that Pharaoh showed there to God, that opposition is in all of us, in our natural state and condition. There is a deep-seated rejection of God's authority. And we might imagine that such a clear example of raw power as changing the water of the Nile into blood would prove to be a serious warning to Pharaoh. But it seems rather to have hardened his heart and been seen as a challenge to him. The Bible warns us all that there will be judgment for sin. But many people simply say, No, I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think that that's true. But let you and I hear this fact, that if God gives us a warning, it is an opportunity for mercy. God's mercy is found in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And here's another little lesson for us in this matter. Moses prayed earnestly to God for what he already believed that God would do. Actually, he prayed to God for what he had already told Pharaoh that God would do. And I think that there's a shift here in Moses' own understanding of what was happening. Moses had until very recently been anxious and fearful, even doubtful. And now it seems that there is more confidence. Not in himself, but in God. You see, God was proving himself to Moses, and Moses was growing in his confidence and trust in the Lord. And that's what happens when we walk with God. We have more confidence, we have more of an understanding of the ways of God, and we see the hand of God at work. And that's what was happening with Moses. He had faith in the miracles being accomplished, and that helped him not to be so fearful. Our Lord taught us to pray to God, and the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. The Lord himself said, as he prayed and taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we're encouraged for praying for things that we believe will happen, and praying for them in faith. That's what Moses did, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and that's what we are called to do too. The Lord says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." But here's the sad thing about this case. When things got better, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he changed his mind. When the plague was lifted, Pharaoh went back on his word. People often pray or ask for prayer when they are facing a hard time. But when that hardship passes, they forget God. They may even tell God that they will change their ways and they will follow him if he will just deliver them out of their trouble. But they very quickly go back on their word. They quickly go back in there to their old ways because they have forgotten what they said to God. That's because there was never any real change in their heart, just a desire to get out from under a tough situation. Pharaoh's heart was hard against God. May the Lord give us soft hearts. May the Lord give us hearts to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, hearts to believe the word of God, and hearts that will follow after our God and our King. May it be so. Amen.